The Gemara on the top of Membez Amud Beis, so 42b, we're at the very, Membez. Yeah, that's the Sunday. This is now Thursday. Okay, so we're starting from the Gemara. The background to start the Gemara is as follows. When I was a college student in New York at Yeshiva University, so the tradition in our family was that my aunt and uncle invited us over for a Thanksgiving dinner, which of course was preceded by, watching part of the game, the football game that came before the meal. And the traditional thing that they would pass out is a glass of wine. Everyone would have a glass of wine. And of course then, once my aunt was ready for the meal, she called us all in and the meal continued. So the Mishnah had said that if you drink wine before the meal and you continue to drink wine during the meal, after the meal, you have a wine that's before the meal and you have an after dinner bottle of wine, that the bracha that you make on the wine before the meal covers the bracha of the bottle of wine that you will have as part of dessert after the meal. Okay, is that good? Okay, that's my introduction. So the Gemara then says the following. Amar Rabba Bar Brachana, Amar Rav Yochanan. Let's make sure this is all set properly. Yeah, good. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Brachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ella Shabbasis V'yom Tofim. The only time that what I just said is true, where the wine that you drink before the meal, the bracha that is made on that wine will cover the bracha that is for the wine that would be after the meal, meaning that you won't have to make a new bracha. That's only true on Shabbos and Yom Tov, like on the Thanksgiving holiday or on the Jewish Yom Tov. Hoil v'adun kovet su'dasal yayin, because in those situations a person is establishing his meal on wine, meaning he knows he's going to have wine not only before the meal, but he knows he's going to keep drinking during the meal and after the meal. It's a continuous large amount of wine options available. What Rashi says that he knows he's going to go ahead when he makes that bracha in the very beginning. He knows that the wine he's drinking in the beginning is the end of the wine. He's going to continue to have, there's going to be other wine options and offerings during the meal and after. That's why the bracha counts for the wine that will come later. Aval b'shar yimos hashana, but on the regular weekday, a regular day of the year, mivarcha kos the coast. Oh. You have to make a bracha on each glass of wine. Why?
Rashi, one after the other?
Hold on. No. Let's just explain the case. Rashi explains why. Because it is as if the situation is such that when you got your first glass of wine, we're assuming that during the rest of the year, you're not necessarily going to drink another glass. For the rest of the meal, meaning on a regular day of the year, you will not drink another glass of wine during that meal. And when you do decide to drink another glass of wine, it's like a new decision. And when you drink a third glass of wine, it's a new decision. Now, it is true that if you have a bottle and you know I'm going to, from the onset, you're going to drink the whole meal, then the halacha is you only make one bracha. We're talking about the routine situation, the typical situation that you drink a glass of wine before the meal. You're not necessarily going to pop open another bottle on the regular weekday to open the more and have even more wine drunk at the end of the meal. Okay, if that circumstance is not true, then yes, you would make one bracha. But the typical case the Gemara is talking about is where you're only having one bracha and your mindset is that you're only making one bracha. Therefore, if you have a new glass of wine, you have to make a new bracha, like any other situation. If I didn't realize I'm going to have another item of food, well, then whatever bracha I made initially isn't going to cover new food that's coming out. Okay. Itmar Nami. Amar v'vermari, Amar v'yishuban Levi. Lo shanu ala b'shabbasos v'yom tovim. He adds two other cases. Shabbos Yom Tov and Shas Shadam Yotzim Beis HaMerchat. When a person comes out of the bathhouse, B'Shas HaKazos Adam. When a person finishes bloodletting, or like imagine donating blood. So nowadays, when you finish donating blood, or you come out of a shvitz, you need to have a good glass of orange juice and a cookie. But in those days, they would drink wine, and I can't imagine this nowadays. After you donate blood, they would drink wine. They wouldn't just drink a little bit of wine; they would drink a substantial amount of wine.
It's not donation.
No, this is HaKazos Adam is the medical purposes. I know. But the analogy is similar to what we do nowadays.
Okay.
And therefore, in those cases, the person is going to be hoil, the Gemara says, the adun kovet dasal yayin. In all these circumstances, the person is going to establish a lot of wine drinking. He knows in the beginning and the end of the meal. Therefore, you make one bracha. And it suffices for all the wine. Aval b'shar yimos hashana, on the regular weekday meal, which isn't so special, if you happen to drink a glass of wine at the beginning of the meal, mevarach hakol kos v'kos, you'll have to add another bracha for each additional cup that you didn't have in mind when you started the meal. Rabba Bar Meri ikli l'dei Rava. So the story is that Rabba Bar Meri went to the house of Rava. The chol on the weekday, chazier, he saw the baruch lifnei hamazon. He saw that Rabba made the bracha on the wine that he drank before the meal. V'hadze baruch l'achar mazon. And he also made another bracha on the wine that came after the meal. So Amr Leis, he said to him, Yishar. Rashi says, Yafta Asisa.
Yishar Koach.
Yishar Koach. That's the line. Yishar Koach. Yeah, this is where it comes from. Yishar. Correct. So what Rashi says, Yafta Asisa, you did a good job. You're right. You did the right thing. V'chinam Rishon Malevi. That's what Rishon Malevi said, that if you're going to, in the weekday meal, have a glass of wine in the beginning, you're going to have to make another bracha later on. Now, where's this Yishar come from elsewhere? So famously comes from the fact that, yes, the Gemara in Shabbos says, when Moshe brought down the Luchos, and he saw B'nai Yisrael worshiping the Egel Zav, so he breaks the Luchos. So it says that we know that Hashem agreed to what Moshe did by breaking the Luchos. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, Asher Havi, you made it, it says, V'ksavta Luchos Asher, how you... Luchos Asher Shibarta. You should make another set of Luchos that were like the ones you made that you broke. So the fact that it says Asher Hayu Aluchos Asher Shibarta, so it explains Asher is like from the language of Yeshar. Also, Yasher Koach Shibarta. Yasher Koach. Okay, that's Drasha. It's a Drasha. Asher is like Yeshar. Okay, similar. Does that grammatically work out? I don't know.
It's a long
drusha.
There's a lot of that.
Okay. So, but derech drush. So that also is where again, yashar koach. Moshe did a good job. So over here, he's saying yishar. You did a good job. Yishar koach. Yeah, you did a good job that you made a bracha on each glass of wine. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Fikul Abay Rabbi. Rav Yitzchak Yosef. He went to Abay's house. B'yantif, and he went on the yantif. He saw the baruch akol kasa v'kasa. He saw that Abayi made a bracha on each glass of wine. So he said to Abayi, "Lo sover lemar lahadir Rishon Levi. Do you not hold like the psak of Rishon Levi that you should make a bracha once and that's it? Because on Yontif you had in mind to have wine during the whole meal. So Amalei nimloch ana. I had changed my mind. In other words, I opened the meal." I only started with one glass of wine. I wasn't expecting to do anything more. And then when I decided to have more wine, so that was a change. So I make a new bracha. The point of the seed of this story is that it's not specifically about Shabbos and Yom Tov or a weekday. It's about what one's mindset is and what you have in your intention when you start the meal. If your intention, regardless of what day of the week it is to have more wine, so make one bracha. If your intention was just to have this one glass, I didn't expect to be drinking more and opening another bottle, then when you open another bottle, you actually have to make another bracha. Mm-hmm. Okay, the following question is asked. Yibaylu, Balahem Yaim B'Toch HaMazon. If wine is brought before the group during the meal, okay, in other words, in the middle of the meal, Mahu Shiyiftor Yayin Shil Achar Mazon. What would be the halacha in terms of do you have to make a bracha on the wine at the end of the meal? Now, let's just be clear. When you are washing Hamotzi, the Hamotzi covers all the food that you're going to eat during that meal, but will not cover the wine that you drink during the meal. Okay, wine is not covered by the hamotzi. So if you drink wine during the meal, you're going to make a separate bari priya gafen on that wine. The question is, if you're going to have wine at the end of the meal, will the bracha that you already made in the wine during the middle of the meal count to cover the wine that you will drink at the end? That's the Gemara's question. Okay? Now, the Gemara's going to explain why you think it would and why you think it wouldn't. Okay, let's see. The Gemara explains. In Timsei Lomar, if you say, Barech ha-yayin shel lifnei hamazon, since if you made the bracha on wine that came before the meal, poter ha-yayin shel achar mazon, we know that that wine that comes before the meal will exempt the wine that comes at the end of the meal. That's the halacha from our Mishnah. Why is that? Mishum v'zelishtos, because both of them are for, like, let's call it wine drinking. They're for a drink. Avahacha, but for the wine that's coming in the middle of the meal, during the food that you're eating, that wine is not lishtos, to drink. That wine is lishros. Now, what does it mean, lishros? It is meant to wet the food. It is meant to help wet your palate so that the food goes down more easily. Meaning it's not being drunk independently as a drink, as a beverage. It is being drunk to facilitate the eating in some way.
French people.
So if that's the case, then maybe you will not be able to have one type of wine and its bracha cover the wine at the end of the meal, since it's for a different purpose. One is for the purpose of wetting the palate, and one is for the purpose of drinking a beverage. Odoma, loishna, or maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe you don't care what the purpose is. It doesn't make a difference. And one wine will cover the other wine. It exempts the other wine. That's the Gemara's question. So now the Gemara is going to offer a bunch of different opinions, and we'll see how he passes it, and we'll, I think, ask an interesting question, which is what I thought was interesting, at least afterwards. Rav Amar Poitzer. Rav says, Yipatzer. In other words, yes, even the wine in the middle of the meal will exempt the wine at the end of the meal. That means, again, once again, to be clear, the wine in the beginning of the meal, before the meal starts, for sure exempts the wine at the end. The question we're asking is the wine in the middle of the meal, will that exempt? You never had wine before the meal. You only start to have wine in the middle of the meal. You made the boy prayer guffin and the wine in the middle of the meal. Will it cover, will you have to make a new bracha for the wine at the end of the meal? So the first opinion, Rav says, pater, it's exempt. You do not need to make a second bracha. Rav Kahana Amar, eino pater. It's not exempt. You have to make a new bracha. Rav Nachman Amar Poter, another set of opinions. Rav Nachman says it's exempt. Rav Shesha Amar Poter, it's not exempt. You have to make a new bracha. Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda v'chol Tamidei d'Rav Amri Eino Poter. All of them, they all say, and all the Tamidim of Rav, they all say that you have to make a new bracha. This is specifically about the wine. You only have wine during, you had no wine before. It only has wine during the meal. And the question is, will that exempt the wine that comes after the meal? That's the case. For sure, the wine that comes before the meal will exempt the wine that comes later. The only question we have is during the meal. Now, before we get to the Psak Halacha, let's ask the Gemara's question, then we'll get to the Psak Halacha and an interesting question that comes from there. Eise, Rav Aler of Nachman. Rav asked Rav Nachman the following question. Now, Rav Nachman holds that it's exempt. It's poter. So he's asking about the wine that comes in the middle of the meal will exempt the wine afterwards, and he asks the following question. The Mishnah says, Balahem yayin b'soch hamazon. Wine is coming if it comes in the middle of the meal. Then kol echad ve'echad mevarach la'atmo. The Mishnah had said that everyone should make their own bracha. La'achar hamazon, the assumption we're making is that if then wine again comes at the end of the meal, echad mevarach la'kulam, one person will make a bracha for everyone. What do you see from here? That there's another bracha required for the wine that comes at the end of the meal. Again, the way we're interpreting the Mishnah is, you started to have wine during the meal, everyone made their own bracha. And then more wine is brought out at the end of the meal, and the Mishnah says, one person can be mevarach for everyone. The fact that one person is being mevarach for everyone shows there's a bracha being made. Why is the bracha being made at the wine at the end of the meal? It must be because it wasn't exempt from the wine that came before the meal. So that's Akasha, I'm Rav Nachman, and all those who said that the wine was exempted at the end of the meal from the wine that was during the meal. So the answer of Rav Nachman is, Amar Leh, Hachi Kamar. No, you thought it was all one case. The two parts of the Mishnah was referring to where everyone made the bracha on their own, and in the same meal they made a bracha by one person at the end. That's not the case. Rather, Amar Leh, Hachi Kamar, Im lo ba lehem yayim b'soch hamazon. If wine didn't come during the meal, meaning they didn't have a wine yet at all, Ela l'achar hamazon, wine only came as part of the end of the meal. Then, echa mevarach l'kulam, one person will give a bracha for everyone. But if wine did come earlier in the meal, then it would have exempted the wine that came later. Okay, so in other words, the Mishnah is not proof against Rav Nachman. We have different opinions. What is the Psak Halacha? So Tosas tells us, when we have a machlokas between these different opinions, we have the following principle. One of the parties of the day that was Rav Nachman, who said it's pater, and Rav Sheshas, who says, Eino pater, it's obligated, another bracha. The principle we have is whenever you have a machlokas from Rav Nachman or Rav Sheshes, the halacha is like Rav Nachman b'dine, in the laws of monetary law, and Rav Sheshes b'isure, and the halacha is like Rav Sheshes when it comes to Isser v'heter. The laws of brachos is in the context, is in the category of Isser v'heter. So therefore, we paskin like Rav Sheshes that the bracha that you made on wine during the meal will not cover wine that comes at the end of the meal. Okay. And he points out, even though we have the opposite principle, we had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and even though we hold like Rav, the Isure, which would imply that we should follow the other opinion, where Rav says, you're pater, But because all the students of Rav, it says the whole Tamid de Rav, all the students of Rav, right, we just saw, said they, you know, said it opposite. They said that you are not exempt. Must be that the first opinion that's quoted the name of Rav was inaccurate. There are the students of Rav, all of them said, Rav didn't say that. Rav said you're not exempt. So Psak Halacha is that if you have wine during the meal, it does not exempt the wine that comes after you. Okay, so I just want to ask you the following question. Two questions. Number one, why? Why does wine, we said one is l'shros, one is l'shtos, but what's the logic? What's the actual underlying logic that makes it, you know, they're different, okay, there's some differences. One, what's the palate? One's for the purposes. Can be the same kind of wine. Okay, but the question is, and in those days, I don't think, you know, it was a Cabernet versus Merlot.
You do the Cabernet.
No, even the same. No, it refers to they're in the context. The first question I have is why? And the second question is, don't we have an apparent contradiction? Because how is it possible that if we know the halacha is, which we just said, that if wine came during the meal, that's l'shros, that's to wet the palate. And the wine that comes after the meal, that's the beverage, l'shtos. But the absolute halacha is also true, that if you drank wine before the meal, kiddush, and then you drink wine, which is l'shtos, and then you drink wine during the meal, you don't make another bracha on the wine during the meal, even though that is l'shros, it's for just wetting the palate. So how can it, even though they're separate, the bracha before, it seems contradictory. Okay.
So l'shros gets included. But the other way around, l'shros is, you know, something just, the inner there is the food,
right,
eating, not the drinking. So when you go to drink for adults, it should be.
Eric, you've exactly said what most of the Rishonim, including Tosos, the Rush, they all say what you just said. They're in good company.
But it's true. Why do you make bracha? It's like a tough thing.
Okay, good question. Good question. But the main answer. Wait, why make a bracha on what?
If the lishros one we're saying now is like
still
tough to the food.
Oh, okay.
It's still not included in.
Okay, granted, it's not really complete tough to food. For the reason that, since it's in the category of, still in the category of a beverage, right, it's not covered by the bracha of the food that.
So then this category is very small,
and
meaning it's a really fine difference.
No, in other words, it lacks, let's focus, I think the focus is not so much, I'll say it differently. Let's get off the tuffel for a second. The way that the Rishonim actually say it is, the wine that comes during the meal isn't so chashiv. It's not tafel, it's just not chashiv. The fact that it lacks chashivos, because it's not drunk as a fancy wine just to enjoy the beverage necessarily, therefore it doesn't have enough power behind its bracha to be poter, a type of wine that is on a higher level than it. Because the wine that came after the meal is more chashiv, it is for the beverage itself. Again, not about being tafel, that's not quite the language, but the idea of it being less significant is what prevents its bracha from covering the wine that came after. But the wine that came before the meal, which like a kiddush or anything like the Thanksgiving meal we talked about, that would be wine that is chashuv, and can pass their wine that comes during the meal, which is less chashuv. That's the way the most Rishonim explain. The Ra'ah, he gives a different explanation. The Ra'ah says, the reason why wine that is during the meal will not pass to the wine that comes afterwards is because that wine isn't really a shtia. It's not really a beverage. It's really more like a food. So if it's more like a food, it can't pass to the beverage that comes afterwards. So then the question is, well, why does the beverage before the meal pass to the food type of wine that's during the meal? So he says, well, it's more like this. The wine that's during the meal, it's quasi like food and quasi like a beverage. Since it's kind of neither one, then the food alone cannot, the bracha that you made on your bread, for example, on the motzi, cannot cover the quasi beverage, quasi food. So it's not fully a food. And also, this quasi beverage, quasi food cannot cover the bracha of the full beverage after the meal. But because we're talking about a scenario where you drink wine before the meal, and then you wash, so you have both the food bracha and the wine bracha that came before your meal, so that means from all perspectives, you're covered on the quasi wine, quasi food, or meaning the yayin b'socha suda. Its bracha is definitely taken care of because from the tzad that it's partially a food, there was bracha made on food, and from the partially tzad that it's a beverage, well, there was a beverage of wine drank before the meal. That's at least the way the Ra'ah explains. But most of the Rishonim explain the way Eric explained, which is that based on chashivos, the lack of chashivos of the wine during the meal prevents its ability to exempt the bracha that came afterwards. That's what we meant by l'shros and l'shtos. Not about being a category, but about being less chashiv. That's the idea. So shkoyach, you got the whole thing off the bat. Amazing.
No one mentioned
wow. That
different types of wine.
No.
Never,
it's not per se.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't. Yeah, that would be based on that.
Interesting, because we said last week that the wine was very thick.
Right.
It's a very different kind of wine. So maybe the Lishros wine is watered down.
I haven't, right, so I hear that. So
the wine after dinner was more substantive.
Okay, fine. So that would explain why if the wines are substantively different, you can't make a bracha on one and it cover the bracha on the other. So that would, but then
from the thin to the thick.
Right. So, yeah, why would that be? Why would the wine before the meal?
So
it comes down to, it still comes to the chashivos, but you're saying that there's not just a concept, but there's a physical difference. Maybe. I didn't see it.
Right.
I didn't see it brought down, but I didn't look exhaustively, so maybe there's still, do some more research. But no, again, but the underlying principle is one of chashivos. That I thought was an interesting point. But what comes out of Gemara is that the wine to pass or other wine is based on chashivos. And halacha l'maisa, if you have wine during the meal only, it will not cover the wine that you drink as totally separate from the meal. At the end of the meal, it's just like for a drink. Yeah, it would not cover. That is true. That's also partially because your meal is completely over at that point because that's, you've started and you're drinking.
If you made the bulk of it, you have in mind because of the future of everything else.
Now, usually the benching that we make at the end of the meal, I understand you're making a good point, but usually the benching that we make at the end of the meal, we intend for it to cover the bracha achrona on the wine that we drank at the beginning of the meal as well. I mean, we don't, and let's say you're not going to have any wine at the end of the benching. You don't make a bracha of main shalos, you'll make a bracha of ala gefen, right, on the wine that you drink before the meal. The birchas hamazon covers all the wine that was drank at the meal in addition to the bread and all the food. So therefore, when you bench, you've now finished every, it separates, it's a heftig, it's the end of eating. But again, even if it came before benching, even if you have wine that came before benching, but it's really just as to enjoy another beverage of wine, not part of the meal, not part of while you're eating your dessert necessarily, it's simply just to enjoy the beverage, it would require separate bracha, unless, as we talk about on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where you may have wine before the meal, and that would be fine. Okay.
It's kind of interesting that we associate, if you wash and then make a mozi, you have to bench, right? So that those kind of go together. But in this case, we're saying that the mozi doesn't cover the wine. That is
right.
A separate
one. Definitely, right.
And on the back end, the Birkat HaMazon, even if associated with the mozi,
yes.
Does
correct.
Cover the
correct.
Wine. You
it does.
Separate.
Yeah. The Gemara does, it says there's a Chazal says a chalta, a savata, a berachta. A chalta is obviously the eating, the savata is the drinking, and the berachta is the berachas hamazon, which covers both. So there's a maimer Chazal like that. Okay, let's continue to the next part of the Gemara. The Gemara then quotes the next part of the Mishnah, which is the following: Birach al hapas. We're by the two dots, by the way. So birach al hapas. If you made the bracha on the bread, it exempts the parperis. Rashi, parperis is like little fish or like other kind of appetizers you have before the bread. After the bread, it's going to cover that as well. Parperis, if you make a bracha on these fish items or like other Rishonim say it's like a pasul b'kisin type of thing, then lo pateras tapas. It does not include, it will not cover the bracha on the bread. You'll have to make a hamotzi. Beis Shammai then comes and says, "Aflo ma'isa gedera." It doesn't even cover a ma'isa gedera. Now, what the Gemara is going to now delve into is understanding Shitas Beis Shammai. Ibai Lulu, they ask the following question: Beis Shammai a Reisha Palig or a Seifa Palig, or Dilma a Seifa Palig? Is Beis Shammai commenting and arguing with the Tanakhama with regard to the first thing he said, or on the second thing he said. And the Gemara is going to elaborate what that means. Dika Amar Tanakama. Now the Tanakama says as follows, quote, Berech al hapas. So you make a bracha on bread. It covers the little appetizer, little kind of fish or chicken thing that you have right afterwards. Kol shechein, and certainly would cover maise gedera. What's a maise gedera? It's like the cooked dish of porridge, of like a or something that's like a grit. You know, something which is like a mizonos type of cooked dish, mizonos dish. It's going to cover the maise gedera as well. The asi beishamai lemeimar. And Beishami came to say, Lo mevaya parperes lo patra luhu pas. Not only does the bread not exempt the parperes, El afdi maisik dera nami lo patra doesn't also exempt the maisik dera. Now, what does that mean? So, the following is the logic. A parperes isn't specifically to fill you up. It's just to draw out your appetite. It's an appetizer. It's not to make you full. Whereas the maisa gedera is a dish that's supposed to fill you up. So what Beis Shammai is saying is not only does the bread not exempt the appetizer, which is not directly related to the satiation of the meal, so I understand that, it may not do that. But he's saying even more so, it doesn't even exempt the main part of the meal, which isn't the bread itself. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. You got to make new brachas and everything. Or, the Gemara has the other possibility. Odoma, Asefa Paul, maybe Yeshama is talking about the second part of the Mishnah, which is the Ketani, quote, the Tanakhama said, Berecha Parperes, if you make a bracha on this appetizer, Lo Patar Sapas, it does not include it doesn't exempt the bracha on the bread. You still have to make a Hamoti Lechnart. But Pas, maybe the Yeshama is commenting, it's Pasu Dula Patar, meaning the appetizer, meaning the Mizonos appetizer which you had, won't exempt the bread of a maisa gedera patra, but it will exempt the dish of
you cannot draw conclusion.
The dish that you had. No. This is not. This is Beis Shammai's opinion.
Yeah.
But the Tanakhama would hold that the appetizer bracha, if you're making, let's say, you have an appetizer which is mizonos, it will cover mizonos items later on. If you have an appetizer shahakal, it will cover shahakal items later on. Even though, with the chiddush, even though the appetizer is not to satiate, and the main part of the meal is to satiate. So I might have thought, again, maybe related to this chashivas issue, that might not have worked. And the answer is no, it does work. You are able, according to Tanakhama, Beis Shammai argues. What we're doing is we're trying to clarify what is it that Beis Shammai is arguing about? The Asu Beis Shammai, and here we go. The Asu Beis Shammai, Lemeimar Beis Shammai, the third line, the end of the third line, the third wide line, says, Asu Beis Shammai Lemeimar, Afilo Maisa Gedera Nami Lo Patar. Beis Shammai says, it will not, the Parperes, the appetizer, will not cover Maisa Gedera after the meal. Teku, and we don't know the answer to what is the true opinion of Beis Shammai. What's interesting, okay, I thought it was interesting, is that we're saying all this time discussing which opinion? Beis Shammai. Do we pass on Beis Shammai?
No.
Why are we spending all this time discussing Beis Shammai?
How you did read the Maisa Kedera. You don't know the Maisa Kedera.
Meaning you don't know what the Tanakhama's opinion is. Fantastic. So one.
I was saying the same thing.
Right. So there's two basic reasons which I saw according to Rishonim as to why the Gemara. This is not a unique situation. Actually, it's quite common that the Gemara will discuss and dissect what exactly Beis Shammai is talking about. So one explanation which brought down Tosfos and Sukkah is that we want to understand Beis Shammai to better understand the opinion he's arguing with, which sometimes is Beis Hillel, in this case we just call it the Tanakhama, to better understand that opinion. Because if we understand what Beis Shammai is focusing on in his argument, then we can better understand the Tanakhama. And ultimately, since we pass into the Tanakhama, by sharpening our understanding of his Bar Plutza, the one he's arguing with, we'll have a better understanding of the opinion that we do pass like. Another reason that's not brought down I didn't see that one brought down. That one I didn't see. But the other opinion is that, I might not find it where it was. The other opinion I brought down was that, what if you come across an opinion in the Gemara somewhere else that happens to mention this possible idea that follows Beis Shammai? So if we know Beis Shammai, then we'll know that other opinion in the name of, I don't know, Rav X, Rav Y, whatever, some other person, we'll know, oh, that's not la halacha. Because if I know Beis Shammai, what clearly he's saying, that if I find it elsewhere, a related shita, perhaps it's an extension, it's a different context, but it's related, then if I well understand Beis Shammai, I will understand that in that context, we don't follow that opinion. So again, for one of the truths, I didn't see the Agus or Ladira. That is true as well, and we certainly have accomplished that tonight. But no, but we followed Tanakama here, and we certainly followed that if you make a bracha in the parparis, it potters the stuff that comes afterwards. Okay, let's continue. Hayyoshin kol echad ve'echad. So the Mishnah had said, we're up to two dots. We're up to two dots, which are on Membez, 4 lines down. So the Mishnah said, Hayoshin kol echad ve'echad. If everyone's sitting, they have to make their own bracha. But if they're mesav, if they're leaning, then one person can make a bracha for everyone. Okay, now this is referring to the, it's true for the bracha rishona, it's true for the bracha achrona, with the caveat that for a bracha achrona, we have to be talking about at least 3 people who are benching together as a mezumen. And again, if they're just sitting, they have to make their own brachas. If they're all leaning together, 1 bracha. So the Gemara is going to discuss this exact scenario. So hasevu in, from the Mishnah it seems, hasevu, if they were leaning, that's when 1 bracha suffices for everyone. But lo hasevu, if they weren't leaning and they were simply just sitting together, like we are now, just sitting, lo, wouldn't be sufficient to have one person make a bracha. V'raminu, we ask the following question. This says in the Braisa, Asara shayyuhochem baderach, 10 people walking together on the way, and they're eating while they walk. Afal pishakulam ochlem, even though they're eating as they walk. Mikikar echad, they're eating literally from the same long French bread. Okay? I don't know, they're like holding it on their shoulder, all of them are walking, they're biting, they're taking bites out of the French bread, all as they walk together.
10 foot
stub. Yes. So, v'varach la'atmo. Not everyone's got to make their own bracha, even though they're all eating from the same piece of food, but they're walking, they're not, they haven't joined together in a meal. Yashvu le'echo, but they sit to eat, afo pisha kol echad yechad, ocha miki karo, even though they're eating from their own sub sandwich, or their own piece of bread, echa mivarach l'kulam, one can make a bracha for all of them. The rest says, wait a second, in this braisa, katani yashvu, afo pisha lo esevu, it seems to say that simply sitting down is enough, it's sufficient to have one person make the bracha for everyone. It's a contradiction with our Mishnah, which seems to say it has to be reclining. So Amr of Nachmar Yitzchak explains the case of the Braisa is Kagon de Amri Nezo Venecho Lachama Bederchplon. Lachma Bederchplon. Let's go together and let's eat bread together in such and such a place. In other words, when they've established the place they're eating, it's not just they happen to randomly sit together. Then it is considered like they are being koveyasud together, even if they're not actually leaning. When they're leaning, it's one way of demonstrating that you are all together in this meal. We're all substantially here. Or if you say, let's meet at the Oppenheimer house for lunch on Shabbos, let's meet for a Kiddush, that would be a way in which we're clearly establishing our Kaviyah Suda together, even if we're not actually leaning. So what is the opposite scenario where you're sitting and you're not, you didn't say, let's all come to meet in a certain spot. If you happen to go to the cafeteria, and you just happen to sit at a table, the few other people are at a table, and you had nothing to do with them, you didn't plan to meet, then just the fact you're sitting at the same table people does not make it. There's a kaviyah suda, and therefore a chiyah mezumen. Unless it was like the group of guys were going together to the cafeteria, and they're going to obviously sit in the cafeteria together. But if you just happen to randomly meet up with people, and you had no intention to meet up, you didn't plan anything, you didn't say anything, there wasn't like a thing, then that's not enough. Or rest stop, yeah, You're singing Dunkin' Donuts. You quickly grab a little spot there, and that's not enough to be. Or you can't do that anymore. If you're in New York, and you're in Hollywood. You're in Hollywood. You just have to sit down next to Daniel, next to Steven. We just happen to meet there. Okay, then that wouldn't be enough unless we start. We gotta start leaning. But again, that would be the idea. That's it. Now, before we go on to the last part of the Gemara, I saw an interesting question. And I thought it's an interesting answer. Now, here it requires like another level of action to bind us together to make this bracha. What do we require? We require leaning, we require picking the spot, right? All these plans. When it comes to regular birchas ha-mitzvah, right, if you just we want to blow shofar, I don't have to have a situation where, hey, let's all get together, we're going to blow shofar here or now at this time. If you just have to be passing by and I make a bracha, and I have intent to be motzi whoever's around, and you have me passing by, and you have intent to be yotze to fulfill your obligations, great, perfect, works. We don't require by other brachos, by other situations, that we need to be establishing our kaviyas in some tangible, substantial way in order for one person to be motzi with his bracha, other people. We don't say that for the Megillah reading, everyone's got to be leaning, or we have to pick the spot where we're going to be doing the Megillah. You can't like happen to show up and not really have planned to be there, and otherwise you wouldn't be yotze the leaning or the bracha. No such thing. So why is there a difference in this context? So Pnei Yeshua, I thought, brought a very interesting answer. Pnei Yeshua says, and why is it that, and by other birchos hamitzvah, my bracha works for all of you, that the principle of arvus, chol yisrael reivin zeh lazeh. So, whenever you have an obligation to a mitzvah, I have equal responsibility to make sure that you fulfill your obligation. I don't need you to establish any kind of special circumstance. Just the very fact that you and I are both Jews, I have a responsibility to make sure that you are doing all the mitzvahs you can, and therefore, if I can fulfill your obligation together with me, we're together. The principle of Kol Yisrael Reivin Zeh Lazeh binds us together. But that's true by Birchas Mitzvah. When it comes to just Hana, I have no obligation that you eat bread. I have no obligation that you eat anything, for that matter. Therefore, in the context of just a regular meal, we're not talking about Sus Mitzvah, we're not talking about Kiddush and then things like that, which would be a mitzvah in and of itself. We're talking simply about a regular bracha. Because the principle of Kol Yisrael Reivin Zeh Lazeh doesn't apply in that circumstance, we need something else to bind us together as like one guf. It's like all of Chai Yisrael with Arevus is like guf echad. How are we going to make all of us one guf? So by doing something that establishes our kviyas to the together, by leaning to show it's a more substantial, we're all being here in the more substantial meal, or through the process of saying, let's plan to meet in this spot, this is our place to eat, and therefore it binds us together. So that's an interesting different distinction. Okay, so in that what you why you can't be you mean because that's
somebody else
with the bracha you can't be motzi they're shaking of the lulav, but that's because it's a birchas, that's because it's a mitzvah haguf. I can't be like I can't wear tefillin for you,
right.
So my bracha tefillin may not be able to count for you because the mitzvah I'm doing has nothing to do with you. In other words, I can only affect your mitzvahs when it's not mitzvahs. That's the limitation of the type of mitzvah.
Is it?
What was that?
Food,
eating food. Birchas Hanan is not a mitzvah at all. There's no mitzvah to make a Birchas Hanan. You don't have to make a bracha. You don't have to eat. I have no obligation to make sure that you eat or that you're eating. You fast. That's not what.
It's a
mitzvah.
Like going to Prussia, you can't be. Motzi
someone that's going to Prussia only with the bracha achrona. Yeah. I think with only with
Same thing. Right. What do you mean? But it's the chiyuv derabanan.
Meaning like one, two. I hear. Yeah. Meaning you're saying. So I'm focusing on the bracha rishona. You're saying once we're all obligated in the bracha. I guess again the Pnei Yeshua is focusing on the fact that nothing really is uniting our mitzvah hanen. And okay, as a general category, that's the way he looked at it. But I hear okay.
I know you're
wondering, you're asking the patient like, well, once we're all obligated to bench, maybe then there is a mitzvah. Okay, I hear that. Okay, we have to look. I have to look at it inside more. Okay, let's continue. So the Gemara then tells the following story, and we'll end with this. Kinach nashe derav. When Rav passed away, azal tamidai basrei. The tamid then followed after his. I guess in him in the kavura and by the coffin, they went to Levaya for me. Ki hadre when they returned, Amre they said nezu v'necho lachma anar dunk. They said let's go eat bread together in the river dunk. The bazar dekarche. After they finished eating, yas they become a bailuhu. They then sat and they asked each other. They wondered, hey sebu davkatman, did our mishnah said that you have to be reclining? Did it mean specifically reclining? But if we simply are sitting the way we did, we just sat, we would not be able to all unite together with the bracha? O Dilma, or perhaps Dekevan de Amri Nezav Necha Rifta Beduchta Plonisa Kiasavudami. Or the fact that we had said we're establishing our eating in this place, is that enough? They forgot the halacha. They didn't know what to do. They didn't remember what the proper halacha is. So lo havi b'dayu, they didn't know the answer. What happened? Come, Rav Ada bar Ava got up and hadar kari lachori. He took his garment. Now the halacha is his garment was ripped. Why was it ripped? Because the halacha is that a person tears kriya for his rebbe muvhak. And since Rav had died, it was his rebbe muvhak. A person he tore kriya for his rebbe muvhak. So he took the shirt, which was already torn, turned it around so the tear was in the back. Zikara kriya achrina. Top of the page, he tore kriya a second time. A second time. Amar nachnavshe the Rav ubirchas mazayin lagamian. Rav died, and we don't even know the halachas of birchas mazayin anymore. We don't have a rebbe to ask. Whoa. We're floating down the river without a captain anymore.
The
second kriya was for the recognition that they no longer had the leadership and the direction and the hadracha and the psach halacha of the rebbe.
Yeah.
So, by the way, the Rav of Soloveitchik quoted this gemara when he gave the hesped for the Tolna Rebbe, his father-in-law. He gave this hesped when his father passed away, saying we no longer have the connection to the past and the hadracha and the Torah that we had through the Tolna Rebbe once he passed away. So he was saying that I tear kriya even on that, not just on the person, but also on what we no longer have the connection to. We're missing that direction. So ad asa, until this happened, while it's happening. Ad asa hosaba. They didn't know what to do until a certain elderly person came. Some people say, everyone says hosaba, first Eliyahu, Navi. But some older Rav came, and Ramaluhu Masisin Abraisa. He gave the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa that we had quoted just a few lines ago in the Gemara. The Shani Lu, and he answered the Sira, the contradiction between the Braisa and the Gemara, as we explained. Kevin the Amri, Nezah, Venecha, Lachma, Duchwan. Since we have gone ahead and we said we're going to establish our meal in this place, that is the considered like we are establishing our meal, and therefore one person can be in Varach for everyone. Okay, we'll end over here, and we'll...